We're back. Welcome to Courtside. I'm your host, Marcus Frank, here with my co-host,
Gavin Evans.
Gavin, great All-Star game, All-Star weekend yesterday.
Yeah, I think definitely one of the best All-Star games of the past, like, five-ish years.
Yeah. Tourneyman Adam Silver came in with the World v. USA tournament. Really great addition. Guys looked really competitive out there.
And the USA came out on top.
Yep. USA stars beat the stripes. It was basically like the youngins versus the unks. The stripes was like LeBron, KD, Kawhi. The stars was like Ant, Jalen Duren, all the young
Tyrese
guys.
Maxey, yeah, those guys. Yeah. But I mean, I think we got to talk about, you know, one of your favorite players.
Yeah. Kawhi in the game versus the Team World.
I think Team World, yeah.
He dropped 31 points in one quarter, 12 minutes. Shout out to my cousin Katie. She was there courtside. She saw that. I mean, Kawhi, he's really showing how he's persevered through all this adversity, through all the injuries, all the playoff struggles. That he and the Clippers have gone through these past couple years. He's back. He's having the best season of his career, and it's crazy he almost didn't make the All-Star team, right? Because initially,
yeah, I mean, he was a replacement.
Yeah, he was a replacement, and he was arguably he should have won the MVP. I think.
Yeah,
arguably.
I don't really know why Ant won MVP. I think Kawhi deserved it just off that.
I mean, they did get B2A in the finals.
And like, yeah, I guess like you do kind of have to pick an MVP from the winning team, and I think the stars, which is the young USA players, did win. But I think Kawhi stole the show at the very least.
Yeah.
I think when we think about this, we're going to think about Kawhi, you know.
It was game World v Stripes. Kawhi in 12 minutes, he dropped 31 points, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. From 11 for 13 from the field, 6 for 7 from 3. He hit the game-winning 3 over Karl Towns to ice the game. It was truly exhilarating. Gavin and I were sitting watching it. We were going crazy. I mean, he should have won, but it is what it is. In the finals, however, Team Stripes did get the belt from the Stars. 47-21. Basically everyone on the Stripes had stinkers. Kawhi only did have 1 point in the finals, triple single, but, and he had only 8 points. So yeah, he kind of did. It is a little dubious that he got that MVP, but yeah, really good actual all-star game, but the rest, the dunk contest, so.
I think the dunk contest was, I mean, just, like, atrocious.
Yeah. Did you see that Jackson Hayes dunk?
I mean, I don't want to diminish it because, obviously, we cannot dunk.
Yeah.
But, like, no. For a guy who's, like, almost 7 foot tall, like, you got to show something more impressive there.
Who's that one guy that just fell on
Jace
his back?
Jace Richardson, something like that. Jace something. Who, I mean, took, like, a pretty nasty spill during the dunk contest, too. It's not the same without Mac McClung, you know?
No.
He's, like, the only reason the dunk contest has been relevant the past
Dunker
few years.
MVP? Like, 3-time straight winner?
Yeah, I mean, like, he's up there with, like, the dunk contest goats of, like, Aaron Gordon, like, those type of guys. And
crazy Mac McClung,
yeah.
And Aaron Gordon in the same sentence.
Yeah.
I mean, it just shows you how unserious.
Yeah, it's
the dunk
not a very serious
is. You can't get, if you can't get actual, like, stars to do it, what's the point?
Yeah.
Like, no LeBron, no KD.
I mean, you can barely get actual stars
to do
the...
No Ja doing it, no Giannis.
Yeah. And you can barely get actual stars to do the real All-Star game. Like,
yeah.
You're not going to get them to compete in the dunk contest.
No, definitely. All-Star celebrity game. Team Giannis. Giannis had some beef with one of his players.
Yeah, he left Shams on the bench for most of the game after the recent drama with, you know, Shams constantly speculating that Giannis wanted out of Milwaukee and stoking up rumors about that. So it was a little bit of like an awkward coach-player dynamic. Shams was on his phone on the bench most of the game. but
Giannis beat Team Anthony 65-58 with MVP Rome Flynn. Taco Fall was also on Team Giannis.
I the fact that Taco
NBA
Fall
legend
is
Taco Fall
in the Celebrity All-Star game is like almost seems a little bit disrespectful to me, to be honest. Like, that was a guy that like was in the NBA, and like, I don't know, like putting him in the celeb game feels a little like weird, but maybe that's just
me. He never really made it though. He was like a G Leaguer most of the time, but nice to see him return. Back to the actual All-Star game though, the actual important part. The guys were competing. We had one OT win, two game winners, one De'Aaron Fox game winner, one Kawhi game winner. Besides the championship game, which is a major game, it was pretty competitive the whole time throughout. I mean, and it's kind of surprising because last year they also had a similar format. It wasn't explicitly World v. America, but the teams were basically international players, old players, and young players. And then there was a third, there was a fourth team. It was the winner of the Rising Stars contest. But this year they opted to not have that and have explicit USA v. World. And it really worked out well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said earlier, one of the most competitive All-Star games of the
recent history. I wonder if Adam Silver, 20 man, like went back and was like, guys, listen, if you don't play hard, like cutting the contracts.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it seemed like Kawhi did some interviews pre-All-Star game, and it seemed like he didn't even really know, like, what the format was.
He said he wanted to go back to East v. West. Yeah. I saw Cade Cunningham said something similar.
But, I mean, it's kind of hard to, like, take that seriously from these guys when, you know, you weren't playing very hard in the East v. West format, so why would we go back, you know?
But Kawhi was playing hard.
Kawhi,
31 and 31 in one quarter. My goat, Kawhi. It truly is good to see him back. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, but the same doctor did Kawhi and Embiid's knees. And bless that guy. Dr. Jonathan Glasshow.
Glasshow, I think.
Glasshow, shout out.
Embiid, however, did not make the All-Star game. I think got snubbed. I think they probably did approach him about it, and I'd imagine he declined because he has been out for a lot of games recently with this knee injury. So I don't think he could have played in the All-Star game no matter what. But still hurts to see him get snubbed, you know, whether or not it was his choice.
Next year they announced All-Star game is in Phoenix.
Phoenix, okay.
Should be. Yeah, hopefully the trend will continue and we'll have another competitive game next
year. It's a pretty small list of cities that the All-Star game can be in, right? There's like a big set of requirements. You know, you got to have a certain number of, you know, highly rated hotels, and you got to have a big. I think you have to have an international airport. There's like a pretty strict and like extensive list of things you need to be able to host an All-Star game. So the list is, not every team can do it. Some of the smaller market teams I don't think can. I think they should keep the same format for next year.
Definitely. If it worked,
stick with it.
See what happens again, yeah.
I think there are other changes that should be made, though. I think the dunk contest, it might be time to put it to sleep. I think it should go to the farm upstate and live in our memories, you know?
Take it out back.
Yeah, unless you can, like, negotiate with some stars to get in there,
I feel like you could save it. Because it's truly, bum show. You got Jackson Hayes in the dunk contest.
Yeah, you have guys in there that are averaging, like,
just
4 points
bums,
a game,
yeah.
You know? It's like, but the stars don't want to be in it. And
I mean, why not? Are they afraid of getting injured? Is that what it is? Like, what's the
issue? I think
it's
just, like, the risk versus reward, you know? Like, at the end of the day, when you're talking about someone's legacy, like, how much does winning a dunk contest matter, you know?
That's the issue, though. It's not all about legacy. It's about you got to sell the sport, though. You got to sell the sport. You're making, like, $50 million.
Are they getting paid extra?
The reason you're making, like, $50 million is because the sport sells. A good dunk contest gets clips, viewers, and money.
But if you're some guy who's making $50 million, are you really like, I should go do this dunk contest? You're like, no, I should like enjoy my $50 million and like live it
that
up.
That $50 million dollars may not be forever if you're not selling the sport and being a bum.
I don't know. I mean, I like the dunk contest. I just think these guys don't want to play in it, and it's becoming a worse and worse product every year.
It is. It is. I mean, if they can't turn it around, yeah, you're right. They should just take it out back.
And, I mean, like the three-point contest this year, by the way.
That was crazy.
The winner is Damian Lillard, who has not touched a basketball court in, like, months. He's been out the whole season. He's going to miss the rest of the season. What, did he tear his ACL, I think?
Yeah, yeah. In the playoffs last year.
Yeah, when he was still with the Bucks. I'm sorry, but like,
it's kind of absurd that he won it. Like, that he was even participating.
Portland has like a low-key semi-contending team. If you put Dame Lillard on that team, I think they maybe even sneak like out of the play-in. Almost. But I think they're maybe low play-in.
But we have to see what he looks like on the court. Like, he can shoot threes, but can he, like, move?
It's just like...
Like, does he have speed
still? If you, like, can't move well enough, then, like, why are you even in the, like, three-point contest? Just, like, stick with your rehab program. And
yeah,
like,
that's fair.
It's just, I don't know. The thought of a guy who has not and will not touch the floor this whole season winning the dunk contest is kind of crazy. Or not the dunk contest, the three-point contest.
Celebrity three-point contest winner... Your guy, or your ex-guy, sorry, Jared McCain.
Yeah.
That was crazy that he was participating in that.
Man.
TikToker, full-time TikToker, part-time NBA player, Jared McCain.
Yeah. I mean, who else was in the celebrity one? It was, I think, the only other, like, real contestant was, what's his name? Richard Jefferson.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No more Kevin Hart.
Drewski was in there. Like, we're being for real, bro. Drewski is not winning the celebrity three-point contest over actual NBA players, you know? So, like...
Yeah, Jared McCain is kind of a crazy inclusion.
Yeah. Yeah. That's... Yeah. I mean, that's a little bit like putting, you know, 7 foot, like, 8 Taco Fall in the celebrity, like,
All-Star game. Yeah,
like, you're... Just, there's levels to it, you know? Anything else interesting happened this All-Star weekend?
Guys sitting out, I think, still. Yeah, that's a little shameful.
Yeah,
Jokic,
Luka, I think Luka got a DNP.
Luka was looking husky on that bench, Kevin.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, it was
he was looking...
Bad.
I thought we were getting skinny Luka this season, but Luka discovered that California Mexican
food, yeah. It was... Yeah, and I mean, he got a coach's DNP in the championship game, right? I don't think he played.
Or no, he didn't play. They lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got the belt.
You know, maybe they don't Team lose World. If Luka Doncic is playing for them and not just sitting on the bench.
Yeah,
you know?
And Giannis and Shea were out also for Team World. Yeah. With injuries, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jokic had 0 points, 2 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals, 0 blocks in the game versus the Stars. And in the game versus the Stripes, Jokic didn't even play versus the Stripes, actually, so...
Yeah, there were a lot of, just stars sitting during the game.
Wemby brought the heat, though, also. That's another reason why
I think Wemby was
because
Wemby,
last year, like, Wemby also tryharded, I remember, so... I think a lot of the young guys bring some life into the game.
Yeah. It's a
lot of guys
point.
Have chips on their shoulders, I think.
I think a lot of these older guys, like, what are we playing for, you know?
Yeah.
Like, LeBron, I mean, he's been to how many of these? Like, 21? Actually, just saw, he has a record 11 All-Star, championship game, but before when it was just East-West losses, which is the most of any player in history.
Wow, the LeBron glaze goes really far. We're glazing how many times he's lost, Gavin?
I'm just saying, like, it's crazy to think about. He has the most losses in history, but just because he's been there so many times, you know? I'm just saying, you know? This is kind of like 4-6 in the finals, but, you know, he did go to the finals like 10 times, you know? That you have to give him credit for something.
Do what you got to do.
Way. I'm just saying.
Do what you got to do for your
We group. All saw what MJ was doing at the Daytona 500, bro. Let's not...
MJ won a ring before LeBron. That's all
MJ
I have
got
to say. MJ got a seventh ring before LeBron
Sunday
got
as well.
His fifth.
His team won the Daytona 500. Tyler
he was
Reddick
wilding
well.
Out,
yeah.
But he is... Just look it up. We won't get into the details.
Yeah, but Anyway, in, I guess, less but still basketball-related
news. KD was also playing on with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, so KD looked very nervous during this All-Star game. He was constantly checking his phone before and during the game. And for those who don't know, Kevin Durant's, I guess, like, Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, burner account leaked this weekend where he could be found talking trash about a lot of his current and former teammates.
Some crazy stuff, like, also. Like, stuff that we cannot...
He was making some very disparaging remarks about current teammates on the Rockets, former teammates like Devin Booker on the Suns, his former coach, I think also when he was with the Suns, Frank Vogel,
yeah.
And you have to wonder if this is real, which, granted, it is not confirmed, but there's...
It's got
to
be real. It's got to be real.
Yeah, there's a lot of evidence pointing against Kevin
Durant's
direction here.
He tweeted this picture of a hawk in, like, August 21. Then the account was made in September 21 with the same hawk as his banner. I mean, it's the
coincidence. There's a lot of coincidences, you know.
And Kevin Durant is a Twitter warrior.
Yeah, I mean, he's constantly,
like, I saw
on Twitter.
Someone asked him at the presser, like, "Would you give up Twitter or would you give up video games?" And he did say Twitter, but still, the fact that that's a question.
Yeah, it says a lot.
It says a lot about his character.
And you have to wonder, even if it isn't real, which the evidence kind of is pointing to it being real. How does this mess up the Rockets' chemistry right now?
Yeah, let's look at some of these. He said about his teammate, Jabari Smith Jr., who is actually a big Kevin Durant fan. He said
he's like his childhood idol.
I can't trust Jabari to make a shot or get a stop. He's low-key expletive that I cannot repeat on air. Coach called that play to pass to Alfie Lowell. I'm going to turn the ball over with this. Team ID, your franchise player can't shoot or defend. That's a way bigger issue than turnovers. Remember, yeah, these guys are our future.
So he's, I mean, these are the other stars of his team, right? Alfred Sengun, Jabari Smith Jr. is less a star, but still.
Said again, I swear I miss Ben Simmons. Least he would give me the ball. So
I think he might be the only person that has ever said he misses Nets Ben Simmons, like, but yeah. The Rockets are already in a pretty rough spot. They're missing some guys to injury.
Fred VanVleet, Steven Adams. Mm-hmm. They've basically punted the year, it seems. I saw something that said they didn't believe they could contend without Fred VanVleet, which really a little suspicious, because Fred VanVleet, he's a good player, but he's not that good, so I don't really know what you're doing there, but...
They're lacking a point guard depth. It's not like they couldn't have gone out and gotten a point guard for cheap. I mean, Dennis Schroeder went for super cheap. I think Tyus Jones went for pretty cheap at this deadline.
James Harden could have returned. I think Ime Udoka does not mess with Harden, but...
Yeah, I mean...
But still, like, you're in a desperate situation. You've got Kevin Durant, who's on, like, a 2-3 year timeline. Yeah. I don't really know why you trade Kevin Durant if you're not willing to go all in.
And it's
a weak year also.
The injury happened at the beginning of the year, right?
It was in the summer.
It was before the season started. They had time to go out and get somebody, and instead they just, like, you know, hunkered down and said,
we'll try and push through
like we are now with Reed Sheppard as, like, the best point guard on our team, which is just, like, crazy, you know?
The real issue is Kevin Durant is not a passer.
Yeah.
And
he's
scorer. Yeah, he's a scorer. He doesn't pass well. So you're going to turn over the ball a lot, and you have no other guards besides Reed Sheppard. So, like, Amen Thompson's been playing the point guard for them, and he can't shoot.
He can't shoot, especially can't shoot the three. And it's... a little bit just, like, kind of what is going through the management's mind. Like, Durant, and especially after this, might not have very much time left with this team in him.
You think he asks out? If chemistry gets really bad, do you think he...
We were talking about this...
Does he complete the rainbow?
We were talking about this the other day. Seattle is having a lot of buzz around them as a potential expansion team. Kevin Durant, obviously drafted to the Seattle Supersonics. I don't think Did he ever get to play a regular season game for them?
No, just like preseason. Yeah.
Before they relocated to Oklahoma City, now the Oklahoma City Thunder, where he really started his career, right? But if, let's say, so we're in the 25-26 season. They do all of this planning in the offseason, which is what the talk is right now. So no new teams, no expansion in the 26-27 season. And then Seattle has a team for 27-28. Is that when his contract expires right now, right?
Yeah.
Or he's a player option for that year? So maybe he just declines his player option then and goes to... I mean, he's publicly expressed interest in a management or ownership role in Seattle if they get a team. So maybe he wants to go play there for the very like last year or two of his career. Maybe he just asks out now to go somewhere. I mean... It all does depend on whether or not these rumors are real, to be fair.
He's in these chat groups with a bunch of random fans on Twitter, like, disparaging his teammates. He's just, like, not a serious guy.
Yeah.
He's kind of a bum. I watched the Starting Five doc, and, like, he's living with his mother. And granted, like, she's living with him, but, like, you got no wife. Like... We've seen those ankles, KD. Need some CeraVe.
Yeah, he did.
No
get a
kids.
CeraVe brand
living with your mom. Spending all of your time on Twitter and playing video games. Two rings, but they're fake. Let's be real. Fake rings. What's his legacy? All-time great bum. You've seen the clips of him in the club, like, practicing free throws. I mean, like...
In nightclubs, practicing his, like, shooting form, you know? Like,
And, like, at weddings, that's his go-to. Shows off the handle.
Yeah. I honestly, like... He does have two rings, so his legacy is gonna be better than some people. But, like, they are, like, you know... He did turn around and join, like,
the greatest team ever.
Yeah, in the 2016 73-9 Warriors. Like,
After they beat him in the playoffs,
yeah. Like, everyone, his legacy back then was a snake, right? I think the snake term has kind of dissipated a little bit over the years.
Less salient.
Yeah, it's less prominent in the people's views of him, I think, but... Like, honestly, and especially if this ends up in a messy exit in Houston, like, that could kind of end up being his legacy as a guy who just ring chased, you know? I mean, clearly ring chasing when he went to Golden State.
And then
Brooklyn
Nets.
Going to join, you know, Harden and Kyrie also felt very, like, ring chasey. And then that obviously got blown up very quick. And. He went next. The Suns.
Yeah, the Suns, I mean, who actually got better without him.
Yeah, like, honestly.
One of the leaked messages with the
KD thing is he was saying, you know, from his time on the Suns, he was saying, you know, when we lose, it's my team. When we win, it's, you know, D-Book's team, right? So if those messages are to be taken as true, then, you know, he had some culture and other fit
issues. The only people saying that are people on Twitter. KD, get off Twitter, man. If it's bothering you so much.
Like, for real. Like,
why are you on Twitter?
If you're being so bothered by what people say about
serious players
or lose,
aren't on,
like,
social media beefing with fans. Kevin Durant literally beefs with fans on Twitter.
Ant-Man just said, Anthony Edwards just said, during one of his All-Star Weekend pressers, that he hasn't been on social media for, like, 3-4 years. For those who don't know, he had, like, a bit of an incident around that, you know, time ago. And, like, Anthony Edwards is not the most mature guy ever. He has some off-the-court issues. But if even he is willing to say, like, you know what, I should get off of this, like, maybe you should too, Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think anything will come of it, because you can just deny, like, pretty easily. Like, there's
like,
no,
oh,
like,
you just
say,
oh, it's
proof.
AI, that's not real, but, like, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very interesting situation. Yeah. Kind of was really making the rounds yesterday. Not overshadowing the All-Star game, per se, but...
It was at the same time.
Yeah,
it was
really...
It was, yeah. It was funny.
Crazy, like, circumstances.
In other news, this is from before the All-Star weekend. There was a massive fight at Charlotte Hornets game. It was Hornets versus Pistons. And, long story short, Isaiah Stewart, Pistons enforcer, basically. Like, if there's a basketball version of, like, a hockey enforcer, it's Isaiah Stewart. He said after the fight, like, I'm in Detroit for one reason only, and it's to fight people.
Okay, bro.
That's what he said.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like...
I mean...
Come on.
I think he's trained, like, he fights actually? Outside of basketball. Like, he like trains martial arts or something. Some other players, Isaiah Stewart 7-game suspension.
It was, like, really gnarly, though.
Yeah,
like,
Isaiah Stewart left the bench to go and join the fight, you know, which is why
it broke out. Musa Diabate and Miles Bridges. Mm-hmm. I think Musa went for a dunk. Miles, like, hard fouled him. Then Miles, like, put his hand in Musa's face, and then after that it was just a big scrum.
And
then they were all, like, fighting.
But one of the biggest fights we've
Miles
seen in the NBA in years.
Ducked someone's punch. Like, Miles low-key, like, popped off in that.
We know Miles Bridges likes to fight, but we'll leave it at that. But, I mean, I don't know when the last time we saw a fight this big is. We've had some individual incidents, namely Draymond Green. He's had a few, like when he choked out Rudy Gobert during a game, all those sorts of things. But in terms of just like all the players being in it, this is one of the bigger ones since, I mean, way back when, the Malice at the Palace.
You showed me that.
Yeah, Marcus had not heard of the Malice at the Palace. For those who don't know, the biggest fight in NBA history spilled out, even fans getting involved. This one was nowhere near that scale, but definitely one of the biggest ones since that.
Was it Gary Payton?
It was Ron Artest.
Ron Artest, like,
Ben
went
Wallace.
At a fan and, like, was beating on him? Like, that was crazy.
Well, yeah.
I'm surprised I never heard of that.
I mean, the Malice of the Palace had, like, actual, like criminal convictions follow. Like, people got, I think they got, like, community service and stuff. But it actually went to court. This one's not going to do that. But, yeah, that's just... recap of what happened during the actual games last week since our last show. Other than that, there was one other also small fight, I think, in the same night, actually.
It was the next day, or maybe the same night.
Was it the Grizzlies? It was less important. And
good for the league, bad for the league?
I mean, you talk about bringing attention to the league, it does that, but maybe not. If you believe that, you know, all press is good press, then maybe. But...
yeah, probably. I mean, toughness back, but we don't need guys going to jail.
Yeah.
So, before we get back to basketball, quick PSA. Numbers to think about, Bitcoin energy costs. A single Bitcoin transaction consumes 2,131 kilowatts of energy, which is enough to power the average U.S. household for 73 days, Gavin. Comparing its climate effects with other forms of electronic payment, a single Bitcoin transaction creates the carbon of 2,640,835 Visa transactions. A single Bitcoin transaction also generates 358 grams of electronic waste, which is equivalent to the weight of more than two iPhone 12s. Numbers to think about from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
That is very interesting to think about, Marcus. Thank you. We got to be, you know, protecting our environment, our trees, you know. So what else do we want to talk about, Marcus?
So really big issue that has been going through the NBA, the tanking. Really, and it's been like shameless tanking. Like,
I mean, like just
pulling out
blatantly
your starters
sitting
up
your
by
starters,
15,
yeah.
Pulling out your starters for the fourth quarter for a quote unquote minutes restriction.
It's pretty blatant. The Utah Jazz are probably the biggest perpetrator, the right word,
I'd say Utah Jazz and the Pacers.
Yeah, and the Pacers.
With the Zubats.
I want to say the Sacramento Kings, but they are just, like, genuinely awful.
Nah, the Sacramento Kings is crazy, because they're just, yeah, they're bums.
Just genuinely
straight
awful
up,
and losing games.
Those that's the team that should be winning the lottery, because they're just not good. Yeah. Like, straight up.
So, there have been some fines levied recently. I think the Utah Jazz got, like, a $500,000 fine, something like that.
$500,000 for the Jazz, $100,000 for the Pacers.
But if we're being, like, real, the people that own these teams are multi-billionaires, you know?
Yeah, I saw a quote from Brian Windhorst on ESPN, and he said that a lot of GMs and executives have said they would sign a blank check for the chance at a top three pick in this lottery.
I mean, yeah, these guys are multi-billionaires. $500,000 is a drop in the bucket for them. And then you think about the money you make if you get a guy like A.J. DeBonsta, Darren Peterson, Cam Boozer in this draft. I take that trade off any day of the week, you know?
100%.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, the two games that the Jazz were fined for, it was Lauri Markkanen and Jaren Jackson did not play in the fourth quarter. It was Miami and Orlando road games. The Heat, or the Magic, were down by 17. They came back to win 120 to 117. But sadly for the Heat, somehow the Jazz defeated them 115 to 111. I saw Bam Adebayo said on Twitter, Instagram, like, we got to find out how to win against teams that are trying to lose against us.
Yeah, I mean, that's
crazy. That's got to hurt, man.
Yeah. No, I mean, losing to a team that is actively trying to lose is kind of crazy. But I mean, right now, these teams don't really have any incentive to stop tanking. So, for those who don't know, the NBA works on a lottery system where the top 14 draft picks in the league are through a draft lottery assigned to the, you know, the non-playoff teams. It used to be, like, if you had the sole worst record in the league, you had the best odds of getting the number one overall pick. As of 2019, I believe, the NBA implemented a flattened lottery odds system where basically the, like, bottom few teams, I think it's three maybe.
The bottom three teams.
All have the exact same odds.
14% chance for the number one pick.
So basically it's to discourage those teams from trying to tank into the possession of the sole worst record. It's like, there's no difference between first worst, second worst, and third worst, so it's like you can still try and win games, but it's not really been effective, to be honest.
I would, like, somewhat disagree, because the last two winners of the lottery were not the four worst teams, three worst teams. The Mavs had a 1.8 chance to win, and they won still.
But the
I feel like teams are kind of, like, missing the like, trajectory.
Here's,
like,
my
the
take.
Patterns.
Here's my take. I think it's better than the system before, because you really could outright tank before. The problem is that you look at teams that are bad and aren't really trying to tank. The Pistons for several years. The Washington Wizards. I mean, they were, like, kind of trying to tank, I guess. But, like, they were just also, like, outright really, really bad.
Yeah.
These teams end up, I mean, the Pistons had, like, 2-3 years straight where they ended up with the fifth overall pick, right? And it's not that you can't get value out of those picks, but it's that, like, consistently the people who are getting the one, you know, the number one overall pick or, like, the second pick are not the worst teams in the league. And it ends up with this kind of uneven talent distribution where, you know, obviously Cooper Flagg going to the Dallas Mavericks is the most recent one.
Also, well, this pick did not convey but or work out well, but Zachary Risochet
to the Hawks, who were like 500, basically. And, you know, probably worst first overall pick of the last 10 years. But I think the worst case is Victor Wembanyama, where the Spurs kind of did tank for him that
but
year.
But they were still pretty bummed.
They were bad, but they weren't trying to win games. And then
I'd say Cooper Flagg to the Mavs.
I think Cooper Flagg's probably the worst.
Maybe one of the worst all time. They went from making the worst trade of all time to getting one of the best prospects of the past like 10 years.
Like, you know it's bad when you're getting, like, rigged lottery accusations, right? You're getting the same accusations you get when LeBron went to his hometown team in Cleveland, or when, like, Patrick Ewing went to the Knicks, right? Like, that's how you know it's, like, something's gone wrong.
Nico Harrison famously stated, "Fortune favors the bold," after they won that, so... Yeah, I think that was a total... But I think also it just shows that tanking is not going to always work.
Yeah.
Like, 14% chance, it is better, but, like, when you got 1.8%, teams with 1.8% odds winning, like... It really dilutes the value of tanking.
Yeah. And while the system isn't great, we were talking about this, Marcus. Adam Silver and his team have reportedly been considering some other options to a draft lottery. So do we want to run over those right now?
Yeah, so I saw there was one that Tourney Man, surprisingly, suggested a tournament for who would win the lottery.
Yeah.
Which,
I mean, that's just...
I just didn't understand
that. The ultimate tankathon,
like,
I mean...
So, let's say the Clippers somehow ended up in the last spot. Would OKC, who has the swap rights to their pick, get to play? And then they would just get Darren Peterson, basically.
Or, like, if the Clippers still had to play that game, what incentive do they have to play if they don't even get the pick? I mean, you're asking guys to go out onto that court, and they can potentially get hurt, you know, too. Like, they're risking their livelihoods every time they step on the court for a pick that doesn't even affect their team. Like,
I also think it kind of makes teams want to tank more.
Exactly. Like, it is literally just the ultimate tankathon. If, you know, let's just say the Utah Jazz and the Sacramento Kings are playing, right? They're both going to be actively trying to lose. Maybe the way you do it is the winner gets the better pick. Is that...
Oh, no, that's what I thought it would be.
Oh, I was thinking,
I thought it would be winner. Because, but, like...
Oh, yeah.
And
that,
I think then you
sense.
Would want to have good teams would tank hard.
Yeah.
So they could just, like, belt B2A all of the teams.
I think no matter where you look at it, like, it just doesn't make much sense. Like...
Yeah, I also saw... He said he wanted to do, like, all rookies or free agents
coming into it, which I think
is ridiculous.
That was the other proposal. It was suggested that they just eliminate the rookie draft altogether and just rookies are free agents. That is, I just think, an awful idea. I mean, first off, it hurts small market teams so badly, because what's to stop some, you know,
really rich owner?
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of like a nice sports car apartment.
I mean, what is to stop, rich owners or companies too, right? Say, take the New York Knicks, right? New York obviously has like trillions of dollars worth of companies that like are in New York. Why don't they just get together and say, hey, Cooper Flagg, we'll give you like $500 million to come play for the Knicks, you know? Same with like the LA teams like the Lakers or the Clippers, or even Boston. Like, Cooper Flagg was from Maine, right? What's to stop Boston from just giving him a blank check and saying, come play for us, you know? It's a non-starter. There's no way it can possibly happen, I think.
I think they just have to really, like, make some rule that just stops teams from pulling their guys in the third quarters.
Because
that's just ridiculous to me. I don't know if we've ever seen that really before. Like, you've seen teams, like, maybe sit their good players, but...
Yeah, I mean...
I don't think, like, the Wizards and Jazz should be able to buy at the deadline and then still be bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess to be fair to the Wizards, they bought, but they bought guys who are out for the season.
Is Trae Young actually injured?
I
thought it was a fake injury.
No, he wasn't playing in Atlanta
when he got traded.
Oh, I guess,
yeah, MCL sprain, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Zubats, the Pacers traded for Zubats, and they sat him out, but... He was playing before, so that was just total. Yeah.
Anthony Data Davis was also out for the
most
likely the season. He might
with
be
the eye injury, or just with
everything. I mean, yeah, his nickname is Anthony Day to Day Davis, like, or Anthony Day to Davis. Like, he, yeah. There's not too much more to be said there. But like the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz, they bought Jaren Jackson Jr. at the deadline. That his injury, where he's out for the season, for those who don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's a real thing.
That one is, like, actually real. It's not a fake injury. I think he is a tumor. Thankfully, it's benign.
I wonder if they did the MRI to see if they could find an actual injury, and then they found something serious,
yeah,
which is good. I mean, like,
I don't know if we should be speculating.
Maybe the
tank
worked.
So I hope he's all right, though, and I hope he can get that dealt with safely.
Saves lives.
But, yeah. It is.
You know what might be a way to prevent tanking? Eliminating protections. Because
honestly,
the Jazz have, like, what, like, top 10 protected on their pick this year?
Yeah, and the Pacers, when they traded their pick to the Clippers, it's top 4 protected.
And the Thunder actually own the Jazz's pick. So the Jazz really do not want to be outside of the top 10, because then the Thunder get, like, the 11th pick.
The Thunder also own the Sixers pick this year. They own, and they own the Rockets
pick. I saw Sam Presti and the Thunder management have actually been, like, some of the most vocal people against tanking.
Yeah,
which,
and
really,
it
truly
annoys
shameful,
me to
truly
no
shameful.
End. I mean, it is, like, genuinely, how do you, with a straight face and no shame, go out there and complain about other teams tanking?
In 2022, they tanked.
They
did the same thing.
They did the more modern version of the Sixers process and just were, like, the craziest tank for a few years. And then to go out and complain about other teams tanking just, like, infuriates me. I'm not going to lie. Because, like, you did the exact same thing. So you were in no place to complain about it. Like, it's just, like, shameless, honestly.
Like, it definitely is an important part of team building, especially for, like, these smaller market OKC Thunder, where you're not going to get a big free agent, really. But it also does hurt the integrity of the sport. So I think there's a fine line to walk to manage this issue, but I'm sure they'll figure it out. Like,
I mean, I
they
think
get paid for the big bucks.
They're
going to
try something, you know. I don't think they leave the system as it is for too much longer, just with, like, how much signaling, you know, kind of like where there's smoke, there's fire. There's been so much signaling coming out of the NBA higher ups that they want to deal with tanking that, like, I doubt they leave it the way it is for more than another year or two.
I just really hope it's not, like, no more draft.
A tournament or no more draft.
I mean,
I think
probably
like
be good for
options.
My teams, but, like,
it benefits big market teams.
It
a
would
lot,
like ruin
like,
the sport.
Yeah.
Like, it would be
Well, another thing that also might happen. This is, like, kind of a side note, but a lot of teams in the league might get shaken up by an expansion draft potentially in the next few years.
Yeah,
so maybe they pick that year where you just, like, totally shake up the league, shake up the draft system, and have an expansion draft at the same time.
Another topic, yeah. So there's been a lot of buzz that this summer there's going to be, like, a vote for the NBA governors on whether or not to have a league expansion. Adding the two most likely teams that, or the two most likely places that would get a team would be Seattle and Vegas. Probably you would bring back the Supersonics and have, like, Vegas cards, Vegas Aces,
Vegas table. The Aces are the WNBA team.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
true.
I don't, that's probably like a copy.
Vegas
thing,
Rollers, I saw that somewhere.
Vegas Rollers. Yeah, wait, I don't
that
know.
That could be good.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I like rollers or like high rollers.
Do you make it something gambling
like
related, though?
Yeah, that's
like you're really not beating the gambling allegations
in
that. Yeah,
no, like when you have honestly, the putting a team
Draft
in Vegas
Kings,
at
Las
all
Vegas.
When you have like all of these gambling issues going on in the league, for those who don't remember it, I mean, at the beginning of the season, we had active players and coaches in the league get arrested for Chauncey Billups was the
Terry Rozier
head coach arrested, currently like awaiting trial for gambling issues. Terry Rozier player arrested as well. I mean, so
but it's definitely going to be Vegas.
It's
going to
be
it would
Vegas
make crazy money.
That's where the money is, and at the end of the day, it is a business, and they want to make money, but. Like, how you can't turn around, you can't complain about players and coaches and people associated with the league and in general, people having gambling issues when you're going to put a team in Vegas. And, I mean, you can't go 5 seconds without seeing a gambling ad on ESPN or any of these, services.
The home market teams channels are, like, called FanDuel Sports Network.
Yeah,
now.
I mean, like, so it is, I think, very hypocritical from the league. And, again, I get their business, but it's like they're just raking in the money from these gambling companies. And so, you know.
Yeah, but it's probably going to end up
gonna
being
It's
going to
be
Vegas. But Seattle and Vegas, probably.
Yeah.
It would be really interesting, though. Definitely it would shake up the league a lot. Yeah. You have to move a team from the West to the East.
Yeah, so
we were talking about who would be most likely.
So the three geographical, the NBA, for those who don't know, it is the West and East are the West and the East. It's pretty just like there's a line straight down the center of the country that splits the West and the East. The three closest teams to the East that they would have to move if they added two Western Conference teams, they'd have to move one, are the New Orleans Pelicans, the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Grizzlies and the Pelicans are bad. I mean, they're bad teams.
They're both tanking. Or the Pelicans think they have a playoff roster.
The Pelicans are claiming
roster.
they have a contending roster.
And maybe if they move to the East, they would.
Honestly,
weak conference.
Yeah, so I think and the Timberwolves are a good team. They're a playoff contender every
year.
They
should be a top three seed.
Yeah, so
without the like absurdly stacked West.
I think you might, for parity, although technically I think they are the farthest West of the three, but it's a minute difference. I think you have to move the Timberwolves to the East for parity.
Most definitely.
And I mean, I think they instantly shoot up to a top six easy seed in the East.
Well, that maybe top four.
Like, I think, yeah.
Even. Because right now they're the sixth seed, but
yeah,
I think they could, easily better
than
the Knicks.
When you think about the other teams in the East.
Are they
like,
better than the Celtics? Definitely better than the Celtics.
I think, are they better than the Cavs? Maybe not with Harden. We need to see how Harden works out.
The Cavs have been pretty good since the Harden trade.
I might take the Knicks over them too still. They're better than the Sixers.
Better than the Raptors.
Better than the Raptors.
Definitely.
Better than the Pistons? I don't think so.
Well, no. Definitely no. The Pistons, they're the first seed by far. But
yeah, so that'll be an interesting thing to keep an eye on this summer, what they decide. Vegas is for sure getting one just because of the money. And if Seattle doesn't get one, I think it's like...
Definitely shameful.
It's like shame. I mean, Seattle, like, you have the mayor, like openly calling for, like, a team. This was, like, maybe a year ago. He, like, walked out to a press conference holding a basketball, and everyone thought, like, oh, he's going to announce the Supersonics are coming back, and they were super disappointed when it wasn't. But, I mean, the city wants and deserves one, I think.
Yeah.
But what are some other cities you think might be able to, if Seattle doesn't?
I saw, like, Mexico City Jaguars.
That's like an NBA 2K, like, create your own team type of situation.
San Diego?
I think SoCal is too stacked with teams already.
Or in California.
I think if San Diego were to get one, you move an LA team.
Where else need a team? I don't know.
Like, it...
Already got Oregon.
Well, maybe some teams move, too. Like, with San Diego, you're not going to move either team from LA, because the Clippers obviously just built their massive, very nice new stadium.
Yeah, no.
So they're not going to want to move.
Warriors,
You can't move the Lakers from LA.
Oh, you know what? The Kings
That's
could,
what I was
yeah.
getting at. I
Kings
think the
are
Sacramento
a poverty
Kings
franchise
could be...
Now.
Because, like, if we're being for real, why does Sacramento, California have a team? Like, it's the state capital, but, like, who goes to Sacramento, California, you know? Like, San Diego,
I mean, the Kings are literally selling tickets in Costco now.
I think
they're
lots
selling,
of teams do that, though. I've
but
seen
they're selling
teams
bundles, like, two tickets for, like, $60. Like,
if I were at Costco and I saw that, I'd be like, you know what? I want to go to a game.
But
I
that's
think it's
how
a
desperate
good
it
move.
Is.
But, yeah, they're a pretty poverty franchise. So, maybe you move the Kings down to SoCal, Memphis is another team that could potentially get a move, honestly, because...
Do they move, like, back to Canada? That'd be
I think
crazy.
Canada is set with just Toronto, okay. to be honest. I don't know if you move another... And there's been some, like, issues with having international teams in the past, too. Like, remember Kyrie Irving couldn't play in Canada because he, didn't want to get a vaccine or something, you know? So I think generally avoiding international for the NBA is better, But, like, maybe Memphis moves to, I don't know.
Midwest gets another team.
Like St. Louis?
I mean, there's no one there, though. Like, Idaho, who's going to basketball games in Idaho?
Didn't St. Louis used to have a team? Am I crazy? Wasn't it like the St. Louis Hawks or something? Or am I, like, completely hallucinating this? Before they moved to Atlanta.
You might be hallucinating.
I might be completely hallucinating this.
Oh, you know, you're right. St. Louis Hawks in 1955.
Oh, okay. I didn't think it was that far back. 1968,
yeah.
Yeah, but... I thought they were there later.
Memphis
in
or
but yeah.
St. Louis Grizzlies?
Like, I think maybe... Like, they keep the same... Because St. Louis isn't that far from Memphis. Like, you keep the same kind of general vicinity, I think. In Memphis...
St. Louis Kings?
Honestly?
If it gets really bad?
I just think, like, you maybe want to keep teams in the same kind of area.
Yeah.
Just to, like... keep existing fan bases somewhat tied in. Although, obviously, like, you know, San Diego and Sacramento are, like, wildly different parts of California. But...
Do you think New Jersey could get a team?
Do we move the Nets back to New Jersey? Although, don't they have a
Barclays,
new stadium?
Barclays is relatively new. I don't think they do, but...
I don't really know why. Like, I'm sure there's reasons for it, but, like, the fact that they moved in the first place is kind of...
Yeah,
strange.
Especially with the Knicks being
dominant in the New York market. I don't think any of the Florida teams want to move.
Nah,
they're all pretty set.
I feel like it'll probably just be.
It's
going to
be one of these
Vegas.
Like awful, like you know, just consistently bad year after year teams.
If so, yeah. It'll most likely be what we talked about first. Seattle.
Yeah.
Vegas, and then I think T-Wolves to the east,
I think.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't be surprised if we get some teams moving around other than that, just, like, existing teams moving just because of... I mean, you know, sports see it all the time where teams move around because of things. I mean, it's been a pretty slow week other than...
Yeah,
the
All-Star break. Basketball
then...
returns Thursday, though.
Yeah.
And it's going to be probably the most hectic time.
Yeah.
Just fighting for seeding-wise.
Yeah, post All-Star break is, like, the most important part of the year because, like, not that games don't always matter, but, like, they really start to matter now. Like, I know
it's a really close race in the East and in the West. After last show, now the Cavs are really close to overtaking the Knicks or the Celtics. Cavs are only two games behind the Celtics in losses. Raptors are pretty close. Sixers are pretty close also. I mean, the Cavs have been... I watched a couple of their games since Harden came back, and they've been really good with Harden, with his playmaking. But that's all we have for you today, folks. Thank you for listening to Courtside. We will be back... next Monday.
Yep, next Monday at noon every day. And thank you guys so much for listening. And
thank you.
His name is LeBron James, and he plays for LA. Feel so good and make a big difference if I could see him play. As I go to my living room, can you If you wanna make the world a better place, take a look in the sky and say his name, yeah.
You are listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford. Thanks so much to the Courtside guys. Coming up next, we've got Strictly Haystack with DJ Todd Bananas. If nobody's read you a PSA in a little while, here we go, looking for some sweet, great-tasting snacks that are also healthy for you? Try eating fresh fruits. A is for apricots, B is for black cherries, C is for cantaloupe. These days, many grocery stores have more kinds of fresh fruit than are letters in the alphabet. The edible skin of fruits like apples can be a terrific source of healthy, cancer-fighting dietary fiber, while others like bananas come in convenient, ready-to-peel natural packages so you don't even need to wash your hands to eat them. Plus, their wrapping is completely compostable. So, if you're looking for a sweet, tasty, healthy treat, remember, eating pretty much any kind of fruit is going to be better for you than candy or processed snacks. That's a public service announcement from WMFO, Medford.